Hey guys, I'm Tim.
I'm Bob.
Dan.
And I'm Spencer.
And this is a board game rundown, and Dan's in a hurry.
He is.
Today, we're going to talk about games we played, news, crowdfunding, Kickstarters, and a topic that I'm kind of excited.
Yeah, I'm always excited to talk about it. But first,
Bob, what?
Make sure you like and subscribe and ring that bell because we are doing a what?
Dan, what are we doing?
We're doing a giveaway.
What are we giving away and why?
We're giving away Edge of Darkness by AEG.
Why would we do such a thing?
Because we're crazy.
We're crazy.
Or because we get 500 subscribers.
Oh, that's listen, you backed me into a corner. I wasn't sure what to say.
So once we get to 500 subscribers, and as of filming this, I just checked, we're at 461. Woo! We're so close. We're just like getting there. Yep. We're going to get there. We get to 500. If you have commented on the video and are a subscriber, you are entered to win. So you just have to find that video. It should be pinned to the top of the YouTube page.
Mm-hmm. And it's right there.
Oh, and it's right there. How convenient.
How convenient.
For those audio listeners, every time you hear me snap, there's a link in the YouTube video, so sorry.
Too bad.
They probably don't hear the snap so much as they say is right there. As long as you hear that. Right.
Also, Bob.
Yes.
This game.
Yes.
What will it cost them? Hold on.
Plus shipping. With everything included, and you calculate the shipping, it's going to be free,
gratis. Bam! Still got it. Okay, so all that stuff.
All that exciting stuff aside.
That's it, right? We're done?
We also mentioned this last week, but tonight we are playing Blood on the Clock
as
Tower.
As in filming.
Yes, tonight as in filming, we are doing Blood on the Clock Tower. So if you are not on our Facebook page, link in the description. If you're ever interested in playing a werewolf-type deduction game with us or just anything with us, that's what we're currently doing.
Yes.
And feel free to head over there. There's a link to our private Discord where we play Blood on the Clock Tower. So yeah, just check that out. You know, that video will be up sometime in the next couple weeks if it goes well.
If Dan's running it, it won't.
Yeah.
No, it's been fun both times.
Thanks, buddy.
Both times we've done it.
I've only made one mistake both videos,
and it screwed me both times, or at least
so
directly
is it
one
really
time.
Really a mistake?
You know, Tim, I'm gonna tell you something. I know this isn't the time for this, but I'm gonna tell you something because this is something neither of us thought of, and this is genius.
Uh-oh.
It came down to a mayor thing, right? In the second video. You could have not killed anyone at night, and they couldn't have done the mayor win. You know what I'm saying? You would have kept it at four players. Mm. That would have been genius. Mm. Neither of us thought of that.
Yeah, I guess you're not genius.
Neither of us.
You don't have to kill someone.
You can target a dead player. So he could have targeted a dead player
very
to attack.
Nice.
But anyway,
okay.
Go watch that video if you don't know what we're talking about.
I'm telling you, man, it's good stuff.
Yeah.
It's really fun. So yeah, you want to play social deduction games with us, get on the Facebook group. Dan will post, hey, getting a head count. I mean, we're going to take up to like 12 players. So
yeah, we can go above that, but, I want, it plays up to 20, but I want,
but to keep it manageable.
Yeah.
Right?
I want it. I'm new to this. So I don't want to go that big.
And all we want for you is to either have like, you don't even need like a good computer, but like a halfway decent computer or tablet that can get you to this website.
Right.
That Dan is going to invite you to and then steal all your information.
Right.
And Discord. Yep. Yes.
And then also use Discord. We chat on Discord.
Right.
So then we pop in and out
of
different
rooms.
That's
where I clear up any things. Like, so you didn't answer, what's your mother's maiden name and stuff
right.
like that.
Yeah,
right.
Your favorite car. What was the color of your first car?
Your first dog's name.
Your first
very
dog.
Important things for Blood on the Clock Tower.
Right. But yes, it's really fun. If it's something that interests you and you want to play, hook up with us.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be a good time.
Yeah.
So, guys. Games we have played this week.
I played a game called The Bloody Inn.
What? What makes you play that, Dan?
Well, it's our newest board game roulette, which will be up there.
Is that our penultimate?
Pretty soon.
Board game
it
roulette?
Is our penultimate.
Penultimate. Yeah.
That's how you have to say
ultimate
the word.
Pen.
Yeah, second
sure.
to last.
Second to last.
Yeah.
Fancy way of saying second
yeah,
to last.
Yeah, second to last one. We're almost there.
Board Game Roulette is a series where we compete to see who can win the most games in a season. Mm-hmm. Currently, Tim's winning.
Yeah,
probably some cheating going on. Yeah. We haven't exactly...
There's been some cheating against me.
Right, but that that evens
hasn't
out with
worked.
The cheating for you.
Right. Should have won.
But anyways,
yeah.
We won't tell you who won
so
this
Bloody
week.
Inn is a cool... engine building.
Engine
well,
building?
We never, you know, it's an engine building hand management action selection
Blood
game.
On the Clock Tower.
Wow.
No, it's really good. It plays fast, and the decisions you make though, like, really feel important. I like
yes.
the game a lot. It has replaced any game like San Juan or anything
decisions.
For me. A game where every card, like, does like four different actions and you choose how you're playing your turn and everything. Like it's very cool.
Multi-use cards, really fantastic artwork, grim theme, but if you're fine with that, which I am, you know, just like, hey, warning.
Yeah. Right.
Because you're murdering people.
I guess we can say, I guess we can say the theme, because I think that's a selling point for most people. We are all inviting guests into our hotel and then murdering them and burying them under the floorboards to get money.
Yeah, before the cops show up.
Before the cops show up. And if they do show up,
you better
bury those bodies or kill them.
Or you're going to be like, Dan, lose the game.
Yeah, personally, I blame them for going to a place called the Bloody Inn.
I mean,
they just thought it was British
themed. It's in the title. It's in the title.
But yeah, so that's something we all played, and that was fun. Except Spencer, but he's played it before.
Yeah.
Yep.
Bobby.
Sure. I played After the Empire.
Oh, right.
That was a good time. Taught Levi. He enjoyed that.
It was his first time playing. Yes.
Yes, first time playing.
It's a good game.
He really liked it. Ben and I played Tainted Grail again.
Yeah.
Man, we had such a hard time, and I was just like hour and a half into it, I am like, I'm over it.
Yeah,
it was just so tough and grueling. Like,
I mean,
we didn't do well.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Did you find it like that, Spencer? You've played that game.
I've only been doing solo. I haven't been doing.
It's a little grueling, but I enjoy the theme. I guess
the theme is very cool, and the bits are super nice. But man, I
feel like it's very on theme.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, since you can only explore so far away from one of your menhirs, that really slows you down.
Yeah. Yes, and you have
and yeah, you've got to.
And then the questing aspect
of
it, right? Like the choices you make, and it's like, oh, what do I do? Oh, yeah, and then it could be very punishing if you make poor decisions.
And like, you know, if you go for that first mission, it's like if you go kind of like the wrong way or whatever, then it's like, oh, but now I need to go back the other way, and now I'm out of time.
Yep.
And then
when
you throw in one of the expansions where everyone has different memories and you're trying to do different things to get these memories, if you get all the memories, you get a cool power, but the things you got to do to earn those memories are terrible. It's so hard to get them sometimes.
Yeah.
It's like I have to go out of my way to hurt myself. One of them, I have to do something while I'm dying. Like, I don't want to be dying,
right?
Or do you?
Yeah. Well, the amount of times I haven't said that.
yesterday we had our second Meeple meetup.
Yeah, post COVID, right?
Yeah, post COVID. Pretty good turnout. We had about 10 people or so, I think we capped out.
That's not bad.
Not bad. But we did play a slew of games.
Sure.
We did Taverns of Tiefenthal.
Fantastic.
So fantastic game. We played a mega space game. Like, if you don't own space yet, go out there and get the Commander Edition. It bumps it up to, like, a 6-player game as opposed to 4 people. Everybody gets their own dice. And it sleeves and everything for those crazy sized cards.
Oh, really?
Nice.
It comes with sleeves?
I think it does. They have a little sleeves. I don't know where else you're going to buy those really super thin sleeves at, those specialty sleeves. But yeah, it was a ton of fun. We had a good time with that.
How long did that take?
I was about to say, I don't mean to be a contrarian here, but I actually, I like Space, I actually think at 4 players, it overstays its welcome quite a bit. So I couldn't imagine playing 6.
But the thing is, though, is like, well, one, everybody has their own set of dice. So that kind of like, you don't have to keep passing those, which is great. Post-COVID. But then also, your red stuff is activating on every, like, Levi probably earned 20-some points off of his 1-5 from everybody else rolling it on other turns.
Okay.
So that was the big winner there, because it was between him and I is what it came down to, and I had 1 on 2s, he had 1 on 5s, and everybody else was rolling points for us. Mm-hmm. So that was super helpful.
Sure, yeah. I'm not,
I think
I'm
they
not
bought
against
sleeves,
it.
Bob. I don't think sleeves come with that.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I don't know where he got those at, but
you can buy them from the company.
Oh, from AEG?
Yes. They have sleeves for that game.
Okay, so
traditional player boards, 24 starting ship cards, pre-deploy cards, starting cubes, extra cubes, colored die, and roll sheet.
All right, the sleeves are AEG specials. Because like I said, they're odd, like kind of long, narrow cards, and they fit perfectly.
And the command station is an expansion. You know, so you need that the base game to play.
No, I'm telling you, the one that he had, it was like one big box, I thought. And it had
It's a big box that holds everything.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because it wasn't like he had the regular box with all the stuff.
Right.
So
no. It's like getting
everything in there.
Yeah, it's like getting
it's like a big box. Like a
edition.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was a good time. And then we played Marvel Champions.
Of course.
For our Marvel Minute. Yep. That was a good.
You played that at the meetup?
Yep.
Nice, mm-hmm. nice. So you taught a couple new people it probably.
Yeah,
then.
Three new people.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was a bit much at the beginning. What was nice is I had two decks already built, right, because I had just played before, and I'm like, just leave those together because they were fun.
And I'm assuming you and Levi are both playing.
Levi didn't get to play.
Oh, yeah. so you were teaching really. Alone then.
Yes, I was teaching alone. Three people who had never played.
Okay.
Nice. Yep.
But they played characters that I had played already, right?
Right,
so
do
I
this.
Played Rocket, yeah, and one person played Black Panther, and somebody else played Scarlet Witch. So it's like I had played all the characters before, so I had an inkling of what they're supposed
Wakanda
to do.
Forever.
Did you play Quicksilver then?
No, I played Doctor Strange.
Okay.
Because, you know, we've been kind of working on that deck. And
oh, sure.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I got a question. Yep. I haven't found anywhere where it says, like, what your deck size should be.
Yeah, it says 40 to 50.
40
yeah.
to 50.
Yep. Doesn't have to be exactly 40.
Okay.
That's what I usually... You get your 15 cards, and then the other mix is basics and whatever one aspect you choose, right. And it has to be between 40 and 50
and
cards.
And I'm sure okay. you know this from Magic and stuff, but pretty much any card game that lets you build your own size deck, you almost always want to hit the smallest number possible.
Yeah, just to increase your odds.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Never tell me.
You don't want to know them.
Get the tightest.
But yes.
Yeah, I don't want to know the odds, but I want to increase them.
Correct. And then after that, I taught three people how to play Downfall of Pompeii.
Yeah.
And that went over so well. People were like looking it up online, like thinking, you know, trying. Yeah.
That game is fantastic.
Great game.
It's so much fun.
That was one of the first games. I think it was like the third game we played. For our roulette,
that was pretty early on.
Yep, it
There's
was
probably
it was
a video
fun.
Somewhere.
You should check it. Where would that video be at, Dan? If people wanted to see that,
they
you,
don't.
You would. Well, wow, thanks, Dan. It's up there now. Dan has to do it, right?
Yeah. But I'll be kind.
Oh, thanks. Is he not merciful? And then I went to get food, and they played Isle of Cats. They played a big. They have the expansion for that.
Yeah,
they
sure.
played a big 5-6 player
did,
game.
I was going to say that's the expansion because I didn't know it played that many people.
Yeah, it only played crazy. Four normally, and then the expansion adds up to six. But yeah, that was a pretty good day of gaming, though.
Yeah, rock on. Rock on. So Spencer and I got together for some games.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. So we started off, we played a couple rounds last night.
Yeah, last night.
Okay.
You were working.
Yeah.
So he says.
Yeah.
I looked
didn't
at Discord.
Do it Friday because they knew you'd be available.
So I looked at
until Saturday. Avoiding.
I looked at Discord and I saw he was like in some Twitch chat. So, you know, he was streaming and not joining us. No, just kidding. But seriously, we played
Mechs versus Minions.
Yeah, I taught a bunch of people.
Oh, nice.
I taught like three people Mechs versus Minions.
So did you get to do the same one again?
yes. And I mentioned I played this mission like 15 times.
That's the move the bomb one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then we played the next one right after.
Nice.
And then I was ready to play the next one.
Yeah.
So because I've only played the next one one time.
Uh-huh.
And then like after that,
that's
like
the one
with
that separate box you add in, right? Or is it the one after the
I
bomb?
Think it's even the one after.
Okay.
So the one after the bomb is
the
spoilers. School's on fire. Sure. And then there's like a kind of like a race thing you got to do.
Yeah.
And then there's the special box.
Yes.
And the special box is as far as I've been.
I'd like to keep going and get to the next one.
I've been
as well.
Dying to play some Mechs versus Minions.
Have you played it before?
No. No.
Okay.
Oh
you know, you know what? We can just start on episode 3.
We'll start over with the push the bomb one.
I don't care. But here's the thing is that it's an action selection or a program movement. The components are fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I've never played League of Legends,
right.
So the theme is fine. The theme's in the game, and it makes sense. But I have no idea what League of Legends is
right.
even about.
It also doesn't play anything like
it's nothing
League
like.
And I'm aware that it exists, right? But it's just a
they're characters.
Just
in
characters.
The world.
Yeah,
that's
about
it.
Yeah.
And that's fine. I love this game so much. It's so
it's
much fun that I, even though I've taught people to play this game like 100 times, and I played that one push the bomb mission 100 times, I don't care.
Yeah,
as long as I get to play the next mission and then like try to do more.
I've been dying to play this and isn't Galaxy Trucker programming? Is that the one that's
programming? No, Galaxy Trucker is not programming.
There's a different one that's programming, but I've never played a just legit programming.
Have you played Colt Express yet?
No.
Oh,
isn't
Colt
a Robo Rally?
Nope,
never played it. Again,
Rally's
the only programming game I've done
Robo Rally.
Felt like programming was I've played as the birds in Root.
Oh,
you know,
sure.
But like that's it. I've never done an actual programming.
Yeah.
Game,
okay.
So.
Well, we're gonna play Mechs vs. Minions
because
it's fantastic. Yeah. It's so good. Then we played Evil Dead 2.
Evil Dead 2,
the
board
game.
I was a little skeptical at first because I saw this on the Kickstarter and I was like, "Is this going to be like a good game or is it just someone slapped the skin on you know
something else
cookie cutter game and went?"
It sounds like he's about to say
Evil
it's
Dead.
A good game.
It was pretty decent.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
we played it wrong. And then went back and went, that was way too
That's
easy.
That's weird. Who could have been teaching?
Listen.
I said nothing.
I made a comment. Well, the only thing we did wrong was that we weren't putting enough minions out.
Sure.
Yeah.
Because the
enough monsters to fight.
I will say that the game isn't bad. The rule book is not great. It's one of
you
these.
You need the errata.
You need to go online and look at the FAQ.
Like I got on BGG, pulled up the errata, and all of a sudden everything was just boom, boom, boom.
Oh, okay, yeah, I've got it.
Well, here's the problem: is that it is a salvaged Kickstarter. It was a Kickstarter that the people did not get their game. Then Jasco picked up and basically offered to ship everybody who lost out on the Evil Dead. Yeah. Their copy of the game just for the cost of shipping.
Which was super cool of them to do.
Yeah.
Which is awesome to do, but it's clear that they used the STL files for the characters, and I'm pretty sure they didn't do anything to the rule book other than
they literally just said, we're going to take that and hand it to this person, and they didn't do anything to it in between.
I really feel like that's what happened, and that's fine because Pete now has a game that he would not have been able to get, right?
Yeah.
And all he had to do was pay shipping, which he would have had to pay anyways.
Right.
Because he was already in on the game. So what's funny, though, is that they did add one, like, Kickstarter-exclusive mini.
Oh, yes.
And it's an Ash with, like, the chainsaw on the hand and the shotgun. And that mini, you could tell, was not part of the original campaign.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Because it has all kinds of detail and is really sharp-looking.
It was like, oh, that's Bruce Campbell.
But yeah. And the other ones are like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, I think this is this guy.
It's like there's one one figure we saw that was like, is that Deadeye Ash? I can't quite tell.
Yeah.
That's bad Ash.
Yeah. But anyways, the gameplay is fine. It's if you are an Evil Dead fan and you're like, nah, maybe I'll play this game, I think you'll like it.
Yeah.
That's what I would say. Because there's a hidden traitor aspect to it. You don't know if you're a Deadeye or not. You could become a Deadeye because you're drawing cards out of the corruption cards deck.
Yeah.
I like this.
And you're gathering pieces of the Necronomicon. And I like that on the little chits that have the pieces, the pages, they're all different. They're all straight from the movie. So that's pretty nice little
addition. There's some little gems in there.
No.
Man, Tim.
You haven't played Evil Dead 1? but yeah, it was fine. I mean, it's fine. I'd like to play it again.
The hatred behind his eyes for half a second.
You almost had
like fireball. And then at the end of the night, I finally got to teach Spencer Taverns of Tiefenthal.
Good for you.
Played it.
Good for that you. That sounds so fake. Dude, what a great game.
Yeah, that was on my list of games I really wanted to play.
We played with all the modules. They're not expansions.
They are modules.
Right.
They're modules.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, that's actually one that they're literally not expansions.
There's an expansion.
They came in the base game.
Right. And there's an expansion in development, right? Coming out?
Yes.
Yes.
Ooh.
What did you think?
It was very easy to pick up.
Okay, cool.
Welcome back.
All right, you redeemed yourself.
Easy to
pick up.
It was couple turns in, and didn't need any help anymore figuring out what to do, how to, do the end of turn stuff, and I liked it. Yeah,
even with all the modules, you're saying that. This is such a testament to this game, man.
And everything
so
fit
easy
in
to
so perfectly. If a module is missing, I would think that something was missing.
Right.
I feel like I should be doing more with this thing right here.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, flip it over. Oh yeah, okay.
Yeah. I also liked how when you buy something, you put it on the top of your deck.
Yeah.
Because I was able to strategize. I was like, I need a chair now.
Such a such a cool system,
it's,
man.
Yeah, Wolfgang Warsh, man.
Wolfgang Warsh, man.
That
great
dude
game.
Can design some games.
Well, my
one. Barely.
You won?
Yeah, I got 195 to 185 against
Pete. Wow, that's a high-scoring game.
I had second. Maybe no, I had third.
No, you had third. You had 150. So
yeah, I got the good teacher award. I came in third.
Okay. Pete's not here. So Tim came in second.
Don't let Pete know.
Yeah. I don't think he watches. He's like Spencer. They sit. Yeah. They don't have a watch party every.
Yeah.
No, he was actually
around and not watch.
He
the
was
show.
Here earlier today. He gives us games to unbox and review. Yep. He was in an unboxing recently, and he said something along the lines of like, "Oh yeah, you guys have a YouTube channel."
He has been on the show.
I know.
We just all like to come here and sit on the same side of the table while we open up games.
Dude, Pete, it's so funny.
Make believe.
Funny.
But yeah, that's. And then I played a lot of Magic: The Gathering Arena online because this week on the app you can get the Forgotten Realms cards.
Okay. Oh, maybe I need to look into it then.
Before the actual.
So I've been buying a bunch of those with my in-game currency and not spending real money.
Maybe I need to look into that.
It's really good, man. It's a lot of fun, and you can just play for cheap. Dan's sleeping.
Yep.
Damn, it's free.
Fine.
Also been playing Ascension Online, still ongoing match with Mike Picorni. And I guess it bears mentioning, if I'm going to mention people that I'm playing online card games via the app, Julia and Patrick, I've perpetual Star Realms games going with them.
Yeah. Nice.
For like 3 years. Yeah, I mean, it's like game over, new game starts. I mean, it's been years. We just always boom, 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 always playing.
Nice.
A lot of fun. Star Realms app is really good. And I think it's just a couple bucks, maybe five to let you play people online. Totally worth it.
Yeah, it's a good game.
And especially if you got friends. Hey, message us in the comments. I'll play in Star Realms.
Right.
I'll lose to you. It's no problem.
Just don't let them teach you. Play the tutorial.
Listen, it'll be easier. Yeah. If anything, it'll be easier.
I mean, I haven't been here for a while, and I was thinking through all the games I played over the last 3 weeks, and I was like, oh, can't even remember all of the games.
Right. That's why we write them down.
Yeah, well, I should have
written
them down.
Yeah, but we also can't have a 20-minute section of you also talked about all that.
So. I played Fireball Island with the kids. Crack that bad boy open.
Yeah. Nice. They like it?
Yeah. Clark just wants to be the volcano.
Yeah.
And then Mallory and I play.
Yeah.
Clark just
drops the balls in.
Yeah. He messes around with something and then drops the marbles in when it's time.
I know we already talked about this, but I'm just, you know, we're in promotion mode right now. The other thing I wrote down hasn't been played yet, but as stated, tonight, as of recording, we're playing Blood on the Clock Tower. So we'll talk about that more next week, but I just wanted to write that down because it's happening today, and I'm very excited. I'm hoping that we can get the most players we've ever had, even if we just beat it by one.
This
game
sucks.
Which was what, you had 8, 9?
9.
9.
So I'm hoping to get at least 10.
I know you guys are looking at me. It's just social deduction games. And then it's Sunday night, too, which is the night that Sarah and I are supposed to hang out.
I know, and that's why I said that if you
hang out on Blood and
Well, that's
Bob
why I
Tower.
Said that if you wanted to, he's one of the people, you could just stop by as a traveler, just hop in the game. You have a super overpowered ability, usually, and you just play until you can't play anymore, and you leave. Or if the town thinks you're on the evil team, they can just
kill
kick
me.
You out of the game, basically.
You just walk in.
They don't
and you
kill
go.
You. They not ban
you off the island.
Yeah, they basically say
exile you to the kingdom.
Exile, that's what it is.
Oh, okay.
They exile you from the town.
You just walk in, you go, he's the imp, and then you leave.
Yeah, it was heavy. I'm super
like,
OP. Believe
he,
me, it was him.
Telling the truth? I don't know. Is he telling the truth?
Yeah. We'll see. TBD.
Yeah.
That means no.
Probably. I know.
Okay.
That's
80%
no.
I know. We.
Who cares about friends?
We're a board game channel, but Dan and I have also been having a blast playing Dead by Daylight.
Yeah, they got a new. As a matter of fact, we unboxed the Resident Evil game here recently. Their newest DLC is Resident Evil, and I've been enjoying that DLC a lot.
And again, I would say if that's something that sounds like it's interesting to you, message us, reach out, we'll become friends, and we can play some Dead by Daylight with you.
Absolutely,
it's cross-platform,
so that doesn't matter.
Oh.
We do talk over Discord, so you have to have access to Discord somehow.
If you
want to
talk with
console,
us.
Yeah, exactly. Which you might not want to, trust me. And also, I'll just say I have probably taught 30 people how to play. So, like, if you're brand new to the game, I can talk you through it.
What kind of game is it?
It's a 4v1 asymmetric game to where there's one killer trying to kill four survivors, and the four survivors are working together to complete an objective before the killer can kill them.
So not quite Among Us.
No, it's not hidden identity.
Completely
kind of
different.
Thing.
Among Us.
Yeah.
Completely different.
But I mean, you know, one person trying to kill everyone else, and you're all doing things.
Yeah.
Right. Sure. Yes, that's hidden traitor. This is not hidden.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, not hidden.
Sometimes that traitor is hidden.
Yeah, think of like Spectre Ops, the board game.
Okay,
it's like that, except that it would. Yeah, except it's like that. Yeah, except that the one is trying to kill the four instead of the four trying to
do a mission.
Yeah. Well, anyway, it's a cool game. It's actually free weekend right now, but that won't matter to you because by the time this comes out, but it's also like $20 or something.
Totally worth it. Tons of replayability. And again, there's in-game currency you can generate, so you don't even have to spend.
Everything in the game can be bought with in-game currency. It will be a bit grindy.
It can be, but if you get on and play a little bit with some friends, it goes by real fast.
Yep.
Even when it's like, Dan, I'm on my third hook, I'm going to die. And we've been playing for 30 seconds.
This has been the video game rundown.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I just want to point out, you guys understand, right? Like, Blood on the Clock Tower is free to just have a good time with friends.
Uh-huh.
Bob says no. Dead by Daylight, I got Bob. He can play it for free with friends. Won't play with it. I just don't know why he's here.
I'm still looking for some friends.
That's a good point. I can't even argue that. So anyway, news, guys.
Should I talk about news? The video games I play online?
No. Anyway, news, guys.
News. News. Yeah. I got some news, but I'll let you guys go first.
I got
if
a
you
smidge.
Want.
Yeah, I got one thing.
I have
one
a
thing.
Nice piece of interesting news here.
Somebody's going to talk about one of my news.
Sure. Arcane Wonders, right? They make such great games as
Smartphone
that Dan loves.
Do they make any good games?
Yes. They are
Smartphone.
They are going to release a... The game is called Furnace. Okay. It is an engine builder Euro.
Oh, I saw this.
Yeah. It's super tight. It's only four rounds. And everybody's playing basically asymmetrical types of people who are then trying to companies trying to make the most money they can with your engine building process.
Yep,
decision making.
It's not you're not building an engine like literally.
Furnace is part of an engine.
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
Engine building, the engine building.
But yeah,
game.
But anyways, about that,
right. It's like the deck building game.
It's going to be available for sale at your retailers in late August, early September.
Okay, cool.
I thought this was on Kickstarter a while back, but maybe not.
Maybe it was. Yeah. I don't know.
Because this is like the side of it's like the guy's face with the beard and the top hat.
Yeah, it looks like Abraham Lincoln.
Not really.
Let me see.
I mean, beard and top hat.
Not really.
That's Abraham Lincoln.
If everybody in a top hat looks like Abraham Lincoln, then sure.
Well, he got a beard, though, too.
And a beard.
Sure.
I didn't bring my top hat.
You're right.
Could have been Abe Lincoln.
You could have.
Want. You could have. Not. Next.
All right. Next.
Sure. So I accidentally turned the page. So the first thing I'll say is probably the big one that Tim has, because he says we're going to have some crossover here, but Dune Imperium's expansion has been announced.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so exciting. Rise of Ix. Ix is a planet in the Dune universe, the Ixian people. So this will add three great houses to the game. Two I have seen announced, and that's Vernius and Ikaz. I haven't seen anything on the third one.
Nope.
So I could guess, but that's not fun. There will be technological innovations that make you that you can get that make you stronger as the game goes on.
How many new playable leaders will there be?
Six. Oh, yeah, probably six, because each faction usually has an easy and a hard one, you're saying? Yeah, so probably six new people to play as. You can deploy dreadnoughts to control the air over the planet. I don't know what
that
means.
And they are indestructible.
Yeah, I don't know how that works. That
they
must be a new
combat
mechanic.
Yeah,
huh?
They move around and help you control
it. This is something that I've been wanting. I'm so happy. I mean, I want this in every game, right? We even talked about it in After the Empire. But spies.
Nice.
You can get spies that mess with the other players. No idea how that works.
I thought you were going to say the tech tiles.
No,
I
the
like,
spies.
I like
the
tech.
Thing,
I like
techs,
too.
So you get the techs, and they give you permanent...
Right.
They stay out in front of you and they give you permanent bonuses.
I think that's what I was talking about with the technological innovations, right?
Yeah.
That's what they call that. Mm-hmm. And then there's an epic game mode that is supposed to make the game more intense.
Epic?
Yeah, I don't know what that means again. I don't know what a lot of this means.
Maybe it's like camping.
Right. It's the whole game's intense now.
Okay.
Oh god.
You set them up at your barracks.
Anyway, Dune Imperium is a fantastic game,
and
this is an insta buy for me because it just adds more to the great base game.
Worker placement, deck building,
right? Worker placement, deck building in an awesome universe with great art.
Mm-hmm.
The quality of the pieces are good. Like even forget about this is one of those games where I say forget about the deluxe components.
Forget
the components in this game are fine, and I'm actually worried the deluxe components might take up too much room in the battle area and stuff. So I don't know. Dune Imperium, great game.
Bring it to game night. I want to play it.
Yeah, no, I will.
Have a game night.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, listen, there's like 20 games I want to play that you guys never bring.
Right over there.
All right, Spencer, what's your news?
I have one little piece of news. Nemesis Lockdown has been on Tabletop Simulator for about a month, but they've only had the base on there, and recently they announced or they put out the expansion, which are the Chytrids. And they actually want to have your opinion on how they play. So they've got a little survey up.
It's
so if you go in,
health.
They do this a lot, by the way.
They.
By the way, if you ever back an Awakened Realms game, especially a Nemesis game in the future, they always email you guys, and you guys help design the creatures for the game.
It.
Every enemy in the game.
Everything. We got to vote on every character.
Yeah, every
in the
character.
Expansion.
They'll show you like five different designs ideas, and you vote on them and everything. It's awesome.
I really, really, I know we talk about Awakened Realms a lot, but they do so many things right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
They really do.
So I
Changing health, for instance.
Yeah. So I think in the description we can probably put a link to the survey if you happen to go on Tabletop Simulator and try out Lockdown.
There you go. Right on. So fans of Takenoko, they have announced, actually you can find it on BGG now, there's an official sanctioned print and play or downloadable version of a solo mode and co-op mode for Takenoko.
Oh, okay.
Really? So that's where, you know, you got the panda and you're building up the bamboo. Boy. So this would be good for me because my daughter, especially when she was younger, she was drawn to Takenoko because of the pieces and everything. But now we could play co-op instead of like trying to modify the rules so we're playing against each other and I'm trying to be nicer. Like, we could sit down and just play straight co-op, her and I both working towards a goal. She could still really get a lot out of the game.
Right.
So, yeah, it's just, it's basically some rules, and then you're going to print out a sheet, of, which will just have some, like, objectives on, and then you guys are working towards, and then you just try to beat your score, things like that. And then, yeah, a solo mode is somehow incorporated into that as well. I looked more at the co-op stuff just for my own personal situation.
Sure.
But I thought that was pretty good. Depressing news. This would be interesting because this is going to have long-reaching effects. Do you guys have any other news before we get into
a couple
crowdfunding?
Yeah.
Go on, because this is going to segue into crowdfunding.
Okay. So Machikoro 2 was announced.
Oh, yeah. I like Machikoro. I like it better than Space Space.
I like Space Space more.
Space Space takes so long.
It does.
What? Then you guys are playing it wrong.
No, every time I play Space Space, maybe it's because I
played
a bunch
of times with multiple
groups. Every time I play with Space Space, it's like an hour and a half, and I'm like, kill me, please.
No, we were done
an hour. I'm not saying it takes an hour and a half for me, but it overstays its welcome again, is what I'm saying. For such a simple, small game, I think it takes too long. That's all I'm saying.
I think we played with that big, large game in like an hour, hour and a half.
Yeah.
That was with six people.
Yeah, because I would have not sat down to play a six-player version of Space Space.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Because it's like, this game takes forever every time I play, and you're going to add two more players than normal, like, I'm out.
Yeah, I don't know what take. Yeah, it's got to be Doobie.
Machikoro 2, though, they basically just come out and said it's the same game, but increases the variety to make it feel different every time you play and everything. It's basically what they said.
Okay.
I like Space Space more. I do accept that I think Machikoro's player interaction is better. It has a lot of stealing money from other players and stuff like that. The Space Space doesn't have, and if they could just implement that in the Space Space, I would prefer Space Space.
You don't steal money, you just earn it on their turn.
Exactly. But that's what I'm saying. Yeah, in Machikoro, there's just direct player interaction, and I think it works really well. That's
roll a five,
saying.
Give me some monies.
Right. So the other thing is, again, I don't want to annoy the hell out of you guys with this, but I do have to mention Blood on the Clock Tower one more time, I wanted to say it's finally done.
Oh, right.
They have a shipping date.
Nice.
It is shipping in November.
Nice.
So their website says they're finally, I've been watching this website for a long time. It's always said like rule book in the works. Okay. Now rule book's done. Character in the works. Now character done. Right. It finally says done under everything. Estimated delivery November or estimated shipping November, whatever.
Are you getting like the big book and everything?
I haven't actually done it yet. Okay. I still have to talk to Catherine about it if we can get a pre-order in before then.
I'm debating on pre-ordering.
Yeah, honestly, I don't even know if I'll be able to play it in real life that much, but I just think they deserve it.
Yeah, give them the money.
I love this game and they deserve the money.
I will say, we used to be able to get some pretty good games of Werewolf going.
Yeah.
We could get some Blood on the Clock Tower rocking.
But that's it for my news.
Okay, so this will be interesting to see with the shipping stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because right now, for a company, here's a little inside baseball, I guess. So not just Kickstarters, but this does affect a lot of Kickstarters because they're smaller companies. But usually, even like CMON or anybody else, they get a game made overseas. They load them up into these big containers. They load them up on the ships. They bring them over, and then those containers get unloaded. Blah blah blah. Go on trains or whatever, right?
Planes, trains, and automobiles.
Right. Correct. So due to a variety of reasons, both political and like the Suez Canal thing, like shipping has just become an absolute nightmare. Yep. Anything coming from overseas is really backlogged.
Yep.
And it used to cost between like $2,000 and $6,000 per container to get shipped. Mm-hmm. It is now up between $19,000 and $23,000 per container.
Yeah.
So
crazy.
You think about like somebody independent designers made a game, kickstarted it, or you know, ran a successful Kickstarter.
Yep.
I mean, their profit margin is this anyways. Yeah. They don't really make any money on that game because they just get the game out there. Now, if they get lucky, a retailer or a publishing company then picks it up and then runs more
copies,
you know, copies and stuff, and that's actually how they make the money. If Dan and I made a game and we had $1 million Kickstarter, we would see barely any of that money because all of that money is actually going to the production of the game.
Right.
Making your stretch goals, any just even making the game because you have to make that many components, right?
Right,
and that
right.
many copies of the game.
And usually any money you have left over would be like, okay, well, what's our second game? Let's
right.
just start sinking it into
right,
that
because you're paying for art, you're paying, yeah. you know, and then not even to mention your own time that you put in, right, and
right.
everything. So anyways, these very narrow and slim profit margins are just getting absolutely gouged, and then people don't have the extra money because you get quoted this price when you... You know, originally.
Or originally back it.
Yeah, and I'm seeing even bigger companies are having to take, like Skybound Games had a thing where they were going to pay, they were quoted $19,000 for per container. And that was a lot. And really digging into their, you know, their profit. And then it went up to $22,000. And it's like, well, we're already kind of on the hook for all of this, right? And so now they've got to come up with $3,000+. And again, at least they're a company and not just like a person. But still.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's going to dig into Simon. It's going to dig into Awakened Realms. It's going to dig into all of these different companies. So I really hope the Blood on the Clock Tower guys, for example, are able to get their game shipped easily. Like, I'm just worried about all my Kickstarters, right?
Right.
Because when the shipping
oh, yeah.
comes through, they don't really want to pass it on to you. But also, like, as backers, I mean, be ready to get...
Email saying, hey, can you pitch in $5?
Yeah, and it may not be a can you. It's like, hey, it's going to cost you now, instead of $30 shipping, it might cost you $50 or $60 shipping.
Yeah, plus, mm-hmm. I mentioned this is exact problem 3 weeks ago, and
yeah,
that was
same.
The cost of a container was $18,000. You're now saying it's $19,000 to $23,000.
Yeah.
Most of these things shipping are going to be shipping until, like, what, September, November?
Yeah. Even more.
There's no end in sight.
Especially
this could
with
be
Christmas
so
coming after
worse.
That, you know, containers are space.
Unfortunately, yeah, it's trending in the wrong direction.
Wrong direction.
Yeah.
And it's could potentially really hurt the game industry as a whole, not just the small guys, right?
Right.
But also the big guys, because this is going to wear down, right? This is like a grindstone, and it's just going to, you know, wear down on them,
yeah.
and it could really affect what our landscape looks like.
What's unfortunate is a lot of the games, especially ones with miniatures and whatnot, a lot of that production infrastructure is overseas, and you just
right.
can't really make it here in America without it being already an astronomical cost, because you'd have to...
Well, because you've
you know,
got to get the infrastructure in place.
Yep.
They're already set up.
Yep.
They're set up to go.
Yep.
And I get it, right? So yeah, I can't just be like, well, why don't I get my game made in America? Well, sure.
Right.
Good luck.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know,
start making
so many
yeah.
of them,
start your own company.
So many of them also aren't coming from China. They're coming from Poland or something.
Right.
So,
also
yeah.
true.
Yeah, it's.
But I mean, yeah, it's just
it's
really,
tough.
Really rough right now, and really grim.
Unfortunate.
And so I would just say, as a fellow Kickstarter backer of multiple things,
mm-hmm. oh, yeah.
be patient with your publishers.
Yeah.
Because people are now, you know, I want my money back, and this is crap. And it's
yeah.
like, these are not publisher thing, like created problems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
These are global issues that they don't have any control over. It's also,
yep.
it's just like games getting. Production getting delayed because of the pandemic.
Yeah,
right.
it kind of. I've seen. I know what you're talking about, because, like, you know, there's a lot of Facebook pages and whatnot, and people are just like really mad. Oh, it said it was going to be done in November or like August, and now it's November, and it's like, you know, it's late. It's like they ordered it from like a online store,
right?
And like, oh, we'll guarantee shipping in 2 days,
yeah.
and it's a week later, and it's not that kind of an ordeal.
This is and it's not that kind of business.
Yeah, exactly.
It is
when you back Kickstarter, you got to know what you're getting
yes,
into.
Yes, yes, and so I get it. The thing that makes me mad is when it pops up on retail shelves before
yep.
backers. But I've got a ton of games that have been delayed for ages.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
I know they're coming.
Right.
I know they're coming. But I'd just rather wait and have everything kind of just.
Yeah.
Like, it's fine.
Yeah. Don't right. shoot the messenger.
There's a million games in your game stores that you could just go and play if
yeah.
you don't already own a bunch of them.
Yeah. Or play something off your shelf opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah. So just be patient. Be kind. Remember, these are people that are struggling too.
Yeah.
And they're just trying to fulfill
their
dreams.
Didn't create the situation, just trying to deal with it.
Yeah. Yeah. These are people just trying to, you know, it's their lifelong dream and goal.
I was
going
to say,
games.
Yeah. And them, again, I don't mean to, I don't know, talk down to you and everything, but
me?
You, no, just
yeah.
people in general.
He does.
Well, I mean to do that. No, you guys out there that are complaining about losing your $100 currently for this delayed game, your $100 means nothing compared to these people losing their business.
Right.
I'm just saying. You
right.
know,
I mean, these are people that are taking out loans on their houses.
Yeah, people
stuff.
Always think of themselves first. It's human nature, and that's totally fine. But you people complaining on Facebook
you
and stuff, I know. The people out there that are complaining on Facebook about their $100 Kickstarter game showing up a couple
months later, a year, even a year later, it happens sometimes. These people are risking and could lose so much more than you.
It's
and
really heartbreaking.
And you're yelling at them.
Yeah.
You know,
and to have it fall apart because of something that they couldn't control at all.
Right. Like, you think these people want to cause all this issue and become looked at as a negative company and lose this money and have to ask
more for shipping.
You think they want that? No. Like Tim was saying, usually they're barely scraping by with this.
Yeah. Well, so. I do have a company named Overpriced Shipping Company, and actually that's what I'm going for.
But at least you're upfront about
it. That's right.
You know?
They should take a page out of Star Trek's book and tell them it's going to take twice as long as it's actually going to take.
The Scotty method.
The Scotty method. So when they fulfill in half
Greg
the time.
Kickstarter's
at the bottom.
Kickstarter's at the bottom almost always, probably for legal reasons, say these are shipping estimates.
Oh,
these numbers
can change. They always say yes.
Like, so even saying that they said it was going to take X, no, they didn't. They said it could take
X. Well, you have to remember, you are not buying things from Kickstarter. You are giving money to a company that you believe in. If they happen to be sending you something in exchange, then that's nice, isn't it?
Yeah. Right.
But you're not actually not buying anything, and they are not legally obligated to send you crap.
Well, they are.
They are.
Once they accept your funded.
You're talking about GoFundMe.
I'm talking about GoFundMe.
Yeah, GoFundMe.
This guy kickstarts all the time.
Kickstarter, they are obligated. They are obligated, but when you get it is when you get it.
Right. Yeah. Which, again, almost no company says these shippings are guaranteed at the bottom. That's just not how the company
works. So the unicorn is, there's two ends of the spectrum, right? The unicorn is you get a game early, which has happened maybe twice.
Very rare.
Yeah, very rare.
And it's usually from a very big company.
Correct.
Or like
but they've already been working
game.
On it behind the scenes. IDW.
Right. Yeah. Right, right. Queen Games.
Yep.
CMON has even filled some early.
Correct.
Every once in a while. So that's the unicorn. Rarely do they fund on or ship on time.
Right.
Rarely.
On time. Right.
Because that means production went perfect and there were no shipping hangups, right?
Yep.
And it cleared customs quickly.
Oh, that's
which
biggest,
is also
that's
like
the biggest hang up is customs.
Which is also a thing. I had one of my Cthulhu Wars expansions sit in customs for over a month.
Well, Narlephetep likes to smuggle cocaine when he comes
that's
into the
true.
Country.
So, that's true. So many orifices.
Yeah, that's right. Just, yeah.
And then what's really likely is that it's going to be a couple, like, what, 2 to 3 months?
Yeah, it's usually a few months late.
Past what they estimated it was going to be. And then, you know, all the time, stuff's two years late.
I usually consider if it ships, if I receive the game within a year of the time they say it's done.
That's almost early.
That's pretty average. It's pretty on time for me.
Sure,
still.
Sure.
It's like their grace period,
right,
as it were.
But I don't get on. I get on, and sometimes I'll ask for updates. I think that's reasonable. Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, what's going on? I haven't heard from you in a while.
Yeah. Hey, what's the update? And sometimes the updates are, hey, no new news. We're still working on some stuff, blah, blah, blah. And that's fine, because at least you got some stuff.
Communication.
But I just, you know, calm down with the whole, like, I want my money back.
And
this,
Well, you've also got...
Your temper tantrum has gotten
you
nowhere.
Yeah, you've got on the very far end is when a company, either maliciously or not, doesn't send any product, doesn't finish what they're doing.
Right.
And you are just out that money. Or sometimes you can ask Kickstarter to send you the money or ask them to send you
the
money.
The one time I had that completely fall out, they end up refunding the money back to people.
I have one that they did that and there hasn't been a refund. I should see what the process is. But usually when that happens, it's not anything like what's going on right now.
Right, right.
I mean, usually never is it like what's going on right
Correct.
Now.
Correct.
So...
as Kickstarters go.
So now into Kickstarter. Sorry, guys. That's just the thing I saw a lot about this week, and it really bothered
me. People have been really complaining about it on Facebook and stuff.
And yes.
So it's good to address once in a while.
But yeah, just think
our
you should know how, much,
will know
how much it actually costs sometimes to bring a game over the United States.
It's not cheap. Especially when they're boatloads.
Yeah, and again, I don't want to make it sound like I'm insulting you guys for being angry that you're not getting something that you think that you deserve. I'm just saying you're attacking the wrong people.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
To attack.
Right.
So yeah, the longest one I'm waiting on is like 2 years so far.
Okay.
It's really long.
As of April.
So,
and that's 1, 2.
I'm not even going to go look at mine. I'll be... Upset.
3.
I think my longest beats all yours.
Probably.
Bragging.
It was supposed to fulfill in 2014.
That one's coming.
They're still updated.
It's a video
still
game.
Send
still
regular
that's,
updates.
That's the problem. It's a video game.
Oh, it's a video.
Okay,
it's a
video. We spent a lot of time on that, so let's quickly go through some Kickstarter.
Sure.
Quickly.
I just got one.
Yeah, go for it, Dan.
Me too.
Bob, did you see Blood of the Northmen?
No.
So this is a, I believe it's a reprint with the option to get the new expansion, right? That's
okay.
Like one of those things.
I like when they do that.
It is finishing July 21st, so you got a little bit of time here. 1-4 player game, 30 to 60 minutes, $42, $60, and $96 being just the expansion, just the base game, or both.
Okay.
Right? It is safe.
Nice.
And it is supposed to be delivering in April of next year. So this is obviously a Northman, you know, kind of Norse-y kind of looking, Viking kind of game, right? The thing that blows my mind about this game.
What's that?
I don't know if it's good or not.
Okay.
Right? But.
Still mind blowing.
It looks like it's trying to be like a Carcassonne killer in a very interesting way. And again, this game's evidently
tile
already come out.
Placement.
So it's tile placement, it's hex tiles.
Ooh.
But how it works. Is so you have a player board that's a character, and you have like your army, and you got a spot for victory points, right? Then you have, I believe it's an asymmetric power that kind of slides into and makes, you know, as a hex. And then you have whoever has the first player token slides it in. So you have this like 3 hex with 2 hexes under it is your little player board. On your turn, you're placing down a hex, and depending on what terrain lines up with the other hexes is the actions you can take for that turn.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So if a forest lines up with another forest, however many forest sides line up, you can spawn people on that tile. So if there's 3 forest sides line up, you can spawn 3 guys on your tile from your left side thing. Every road that lines up, you get to move guys down a road that many hexes, right? And then there is plains that do nothing. And there are mountains that I honestly can't remember what the mountains do right now. But the other big thing the mountains do is your hand of tiles that you have that you're placing out. When you combat someone, right, when you're going to fight someone, the attacker, I believe, uses the mountain sides that are on the tile that they're fighting on. And each player plays tiles from their hand. And however many sides have mountains on it from their hand equals their strength.
Whoa. So you're like multi-purpose tiles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you're building up this map and moving your warriors around. And every time you kill an enemy, you move one of your guys from your army side of your board to the right side, which is a little bonfire. And it's like 6 spots. So whoever, first person to kill 6 enemies wins. That's your victory points. But as you get more victory points, you have a smaller army,
sure,
right? Because it's sliding across.
Yeah, yeah.
But it just looks so interesting.
That sounds
to me.
Amazing.
Yeah, that it's this.
I started off
own battle
not
game.
Caring at all. I was like, oh, this is like a Viking themed game. I'm out.
Right.
You check
and then,
out.
And then as you started talking about it, I'm like, oh, that sounds cool.
Right.
Say the name one more time.
Blood of the Northmen.
Blood of the Northmen. Yeah, and
that sounds fantastic.
The expansion is called Test of Faith. And it adds new cities. Oh, that's the other thing. There's cities. On some of the tiles, and those have like asymmetric abilities. Like if you play a silver city, you get to remove an enemy on the board on any tile that you also have a guy on or something like that to prevent fighting. So yeah, there's just the tiles have all these things depending on what you line up, and then it builds like Carcassonne does, but it's almost like action selection, but you're building the actions you're going to take.
Yeah,
that turn,
no, that's cool.
It looks very interesting. Yeah. They actually
have more games would utilize action crafting.
I know it's it's almost
like
action
crafting,
action selecting.
Ooh,
it's very interesting.
Smart.
So they made a game called Call of Madness. I didn't know if you had heard of this one.
Uh-uh.
So yeah, Cthulhu.
Sounds like something
Cthulhu.
I would have heard of.
I've heard of this.
Yeah. And then they also kind of weird, but they made the official wooden insert for Champions of Midgard.
Oh, that's
this
terrible.
Company did. I'm just saying, like,
okay. It's like, weird. I'm back out.
I'm out. But yeah, so Blood of the Northmen. I was like, I was very interested when I saw kind of the mechanics and I was reading about it. And I was like, by the end, I was like, this looks very interesting. My interest peaked.
Yeah.
I like this idea of let's make Carcassonne a slightly meatier game.
Right.
Is basically what it looks like. And yeah, cool. Blood of the Northmen.
Yeah. All right. I was looking at this game called Distilled by Paverson Games. Yeah. So it's a medium weight Euro game for 1-5 players. You've inherited a distillery from a long lost relative. And then you are going to be crafting alcoholic spirits using resource management, recipe fulfillment, and tableau building. It looks like it plays in like relatively quick, like less than an hour. So it's nice to get those kind of quicker games in there instead of having to sit around for an hour and a half playing Space Base.
Right?
but yeah, so that still has 15 days on it. So when this comes out, you still have like just shy of 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Is it safe?
It is safe.
Oh, yeah.
It is way safe.
That funded very quickly.
This, okay. This was going to be, because of the amount of days left on that versus Blood of the Northmen, that was going to be my game
next
I talk about next week.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
looks very good.
It does look good.
It really does. Mm-hmm. It looks solid.
Yeah, the
components
art looks good.
Amazing.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Spencer.
I don't have any this week.
No, that's cool.
I only had 3 weeks to do research, so couldn't come up with anything.
So every once in a while, a little gem catches my eye.
Okay.
Really neat artwork, a darker theme. This game is called Lagom. It okay. is the Filipino word for doom or terror.
Ooh.
So this is a game like rooted in sort of like Filipino culture mm-hmm. and stuff. And I have no ties or affiliations
Filipino
or anything
Cthulhu.
Like that. I just really kind of like learning about like what are the
scary
monsters? What are the monsters in other cultures,
sure,
right?
Sure.
Like J horror, you know, right? Mm-hmm. So in this game, let's see what year. It's in the past, 17th century, and you're basically all
game.
These little villages around this forest, and mm-hmm. all the monsters are coming out of the forest, and you are trying to defend your own
village
okay. and kind of sabotage your neighbor's villages. So you are the last one with like some soul coins.
Right. Okay.
But you get also like a dark soul coin. And the components to this game look amazing, like real thick, heavy metal coins
Bits.
That you
yeah.
actually use. The artwork on the cards looks really good.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's just, it looked like tarot-sized cards.
Yeah, moon phase cards. That's kind
of
nice.
Yeah, and I thought the art was really neat, just sort of like all these monsters from a culture that I know nothing about, but they all look really unique and interesting. And, yeah, just kind of like a neat card game. It is a little more expensive, but I find that with the components and the things that you can get, it kind of makes sense. So they still have some early birds left. Like so $79, but you're getting like, you know, metal coins, you're getting, you know, all kinds of good stuff, deck
Bits.
Holders. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All kinds of new stuff. Right. I mean, there's a whole bunch
oh, wow.
of different, it goes up to like collector's edition, which gives you other things, but there's ways to get like the, all the expansions and stuff that can come out with it. But I would just say that if anything like that sounds or looks interesting to you, it's worth a look.
Yeah.
It's
like Asian Cthulhu.
Yeah, kinda. This will be really close to when this will be over really close to when this episode airs. So, Bob.
That's why it's a good thing you ring that bell so you get the notifications. So when Tim says something about the last minute, you can get on
yeah,
the last minute.
Yeah, I try not to do that very often,
it's
but
more
this,
of a
game,
Dan thing.
This game
you
looks really
never do that.
This game looks really cool. And I would say that even if you miss the Kickstarter, usually they do like a pledge manager and will let
Correct.
You get in on a late pledge.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know anything about this one, so I'll have to check it out.
And then I will say also Deck of Wonders. If
yeah.
that's something that is interesting to you, their pledge manager is going to be opening or closing soon. I forget what I forget the wording on that message. I was so excited. We were messaging back and forth with Mr. Furia about maybe having him as a guest on the show. And so we're going to do that around the time that the pledge manager
does the opposite of what it just did.
Yeah.
closes in early September ish.
Okay.
So anyways, guys, Deck of Wonders, if that's we've got a ton of video. We've talked about that a ton. There's a video.
It's actually one of our few semi how to plays right there.
Yeah.
I kind of talk Jeff about through how to play it while he learns for the first time. It's a weird way to do a how to play, but I enjoyed it.
I really I'm excited for that. That's one that I forget about, and then it's like I remember or see something about it. I'm like, ooh.
Right. It's the whole thing
about
when you have a Kickstarter that's 7 years old or
yeah.
whatever.
yeah.
And then you hear more about it. You're
oh,
like,
yeah.
oh, yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
but
yeah,
Deck of Wonders
an email?
Is like a, less than a year old.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
You know, I think I got a soft spot, too, because Dennis was one of the first people like that we got to do an interview and like play some
some
prototype stuff with. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, it's a cool game.
And look at us now.
Yeah.
Isn't it neat?
Okay, it's all for Kickstarters.
Yeah,
let's bust into this topic.
Okay, so we have a topic to talk about today, which
that
honestly,
wasn't about Kickstarter shipping.
Yeah, I was gonna say that honestly probably should have been about Kickstarter because we could have kept talking about that for a while.
Yeah,
no, it's only about the thing you've dropped three times, four times.
Well, it's not
it's
just
inspired
about
by,
blood
inspired
on the
by.
Tower. But because we've been talking so much about that and social deduction games in general today, we thought about what if we just talked about social deduction as a genre and how there can be so many games that are so similar in idea and yet feel so different.
So
when you play
Dan,
them.
What is a social deduction game?
Well, it's kind of a game where you have to deduce things in a social setting, I would say.
Perfect. Settled.
Nailed it. I've been Bob.
So very popular versions and like very accessible versions of social deduction games could be Coup, which I do not like.
I don't like Coup, but I would be willing to try it with the expansion. I've seen how it plays with the expansion, and it interests me.
Okay,
what about
fair enough.
Secret Hitler?
Secret Hitler.
Very famous. Obviously, Werewolf.
More famous as Werewolf or One Night Ultimate Werewolf. Different. I prefer the Wolves of Miller's Hollow over One Night Ultimate.
Right.
But getting into...
Probably because of the super weird artwork.
Well, I just think One Night Ultimate is too gimmicky also. And I grew up... So before we were even like hardcore board gamers... we would just go to like parties and people would be playing Mafia, which is werewolf, except with mobsters and a cop. And then instead of villagers, they're just like townspeople or regular people, right? Mm-hmm. Like citizens or whatever. And you would just use a deck of playing cards, right? So like the two jacks would be the Mafia guys, you know, the king is the cop or the ace is the cop.
Okay.
You know, and then you just go around and you look at your role, whatever your card is, and then you just kind of go around and you're like, no, I'm not a werewolf.
That ain't me. It ain't me.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, Bob is clearly the hairiest guy at the table, which means he should be the werewolf.
What game are you talking about now?
Werewolf.
Werewolf. Werewolf.
Or Mafia.
Werewolf. Okay.
Either one. But anyways, there are variations and ways to get, you're going to find your flavor, right, of this game. I think I will speak for Dan and I. Our flavor is Wolves of Mercia, if we're going to play werewolf.
Correct.
If we're going to play werewolf.
Right.
But Dan has a new obsession.
Yeah. They are just so different. But yeah, my two favorite social deduction games as of now are Wolves of Mercia and Blood on the Clock Tower.
Right.
And they are just nothing like each other, which is, again, interesting to talk about, that they're both social deduction. And you're doing a similar idea in both games.
Conceptually,
day
right.
Day and night phase, abilities, and, you know, just trying to complete your team's goal. Now, the interesting thing in Wolves of Mercia is that almost everyone's on their own team. That's very rare. In games like this.
What I love about that, though, is you can change roles.
Right.
You can come back from the dead.
Right.
You still do things when you're dead, which, I mean, you can do in Blood on the Clock Tower.
Everything you just said happens in Blood on the Clock Tower.
Right, right.
Depending on the script.
But right now, obviously, Mercia is way more accessible.
True.
I would also say that we have a review of Wolves of Mercia on our channel. And I would Google it, find the website, and order it from them
if you
don't see it in your FLGS. Because it is dirt cheap. You're going to get a fantastic game, and it's going to ship in like a week.
Yeah, it ships super fast. And if you like social deduction games, it is the one I would recommend to anyone. Anyone. It's just clearly the best one to me. Now, there are other games that we all like a lot we've covered on the show. We tend to cover things we like on the show, like Growl.
What? Yeah, I really like Growl.
Bang. I love Bang.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so... It's so interesting. Again, this is why I kind of wanted to talk about this. It's just so interesting that, like, Bang and Growl are both small, fast-paced social deduction games that just play around the table, and you don't exactly know who your team is, and they just don't feel anything like each other.
Not at all.
And I just find it so interesting that it's one of those genres that can be so similar, and yet you could own seven social deduction games and never feel like you're getting bored because they all play the same.
Right.
You know,
right,
it's so interesting to me to where, like, I love worker placing games. It's probably my favorite mechanic. But, like, if I go play, you know, Caverna, and then I go play, like, Viticulture, they're both worker placement games. And, you know, they play differently, and they do feel different because of theme and everything. But at the end of the day, I would still describe to someone, it's a worker placement game. And I think they'd understand what I'm saying with that, right? To a social deduction, I almost feel like I have to say, well, Growl's a social deduction game. But XXXXXXXXX, right? And like every social deduction game, I think, needs that almost descriptor under it of how this one plays and what kind of experience you're going to get out of it.
Why is ours different?
Right.
I would almost split them into the categories of a social deduction game where you all get to talk and a social deduction game where your actions are all you get to do.
Almost like a free form, right?
Like Blood
and Clock Tower is very free form.
Yes.
Yeah. In Bang, you aren't chatting. I'm shooting you. Did I shoot you did I do that? But in Werewolf, you're all trying to figure out who's who, and you're having a conversation.
You're just making
afterwards.
Stuff up as you go.
Right, yeah. And there's arbitrary
and
reasons
for
doing that.
And if you suck at lying,
stuff.
Don't play those. Or do, as long as I'm
playing with you. As long as I'm on the opposite team.
You can tell who's good at poker and who's not by playing a couple of rounds of Werewolf.
Yeah, yeah.
I gotta say, social deduction is probably my least.
I know, and I'm interested in this section of this now because I genuinely want to know why.
It's lying simulator.
I guess, okay, so that's what you don't like? Because I was going to say, you like Shipwreck Arcana, and that's, I guess that's not social deduction.
Yeah, but it's working together.
You're right.
I do like Detective Club, okay? And that's sort of a social deduction where you're trying to figure out who's bull. We're going to allow that or not?
We'll find out.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely social deduction. You also enjoy Growl.
I enjoy Growl a little bit,
but you enjoyed it.
I don't care for the free form, I guess, since I did
that
term before.
I was going to say...
I'm just going to sit here and just make a bunch of stuff up.
You're going to tell me you don't like the thing, Outpost, or Infection at Outpost 31?
It's okay, but that's more of like a hidden traitor kind of a thing.
Yeah, but that's social deduction.
Sure, but it's not a free form. Where it's like, we're doing Werewolf of Miller Hollow. Yeah. I'm going to come up with my role. Oh, I'm playing this weird person that I made up, and I want to make up this crazy story about him. If I'm going to do that, I'm going to play D&D. Okay, I just don't get a kick out of it.
There are a lot of
you can play it in 15 minutes. Where D&D, you're gonna have to.
I'd rather invest that time and play D&D.
There's so many other constructs.
I mean, there are a lot of games out there.
What freeform social deduction game are you playing in 15 minutes?
You can play a round of Werewolf in 15.
Yeah,
minutes.
Avalon plays like a similar way. Right?
Time the rounds. That's the other thing.
Right.
Time the rounds.
Definitely.
Like, all right, guys.
But I mean, there are so many social deduction where that's not even the primary part of the game, like Shadows Over Camelot. We don't know who or if there's a traitor.
Right, the if is interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, the if is interesting. Or we just played Evil Dead 2.
Right.
We don't even know at
if
some point
traitor,
if there's going to be or there's three of them, Deadites or whatnot.
Yeah. Like there's got to be more. Yes, I do.
But enjoy there's so much
away.
More to the
there's
game.
There's
got to
be
that.
More game around it than just being like, okay, this is me. Now I just got to make things off the top of my head.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know.
That's
I'd rather
fine.
Do other things.
I
that's
guess.
Fair.
I just
that's
don't
fair.
See that, especially. I know, I'm a Blood on the Clock Tower defender here, but like...
Yeah. Defender! Blood on the Clock Tower!
Yes, in joke. But Blood on the Clock Tower, first of all, it's highly likely you're going to be on the good team, in which case
so
you're
not
making
a paid
anything
promotion
up.
By Blood
sure, right. You're not making
Tower.
Anything up. You have a narrative. It's a puzzle you're trying to solve, which I think is what you do like about deduction games. Like, why you grasp onto Shipwreck Arcana so fast is because this is a very interesting puzzle. And I think that if we work together, we can solve this. And that is the good team on Blood on the Clock Tower to a T. I have never played full Werewolf. I've played the one-night versions. But I don't know if in full Werewolf you get that puzzle feeling. You probably do, right? But I know the roles work differently in that.
Yeah. And there's not a lot of game around that. You're just kind of trying to talk about it and whatnot.
So
you're trying to solve the puzzle, but the puzzle is you're trying to figure out who's lying.
Yeah.
That's your puzzle.
I guess.
And when you Battlestar Galactica, you're still trying to do objectives. You're trying to do, you know, the thing. You're trying to go to the room, complete this, and fix it. So you have things you're trying to do while trying to figure out who you can trust.
Yeah. Okay.
And I think that's
in
that helps.
Blood on the Clock Tower, you don't necessarily want to be telling the truth as a good person because if, for instance, you say, I know who this person is, the werewolf...
Sure, you can't divulge too much information because
they might kill you. You might want them to think, oh, I'm the one that if you kill me, you die.
Yeah.
So you've got to be able to smudge it a little bit.
Yeah.
Right.
And like I say, I don't mind smudging so much. Like I said, with Detective Club. Like, I love like pulling an excuse out of my butt as to why I played this card.
Right.
You know?
That
like,
was pretty fun.
And that's fine, but it's not the whole game.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
I get that, I guess. I love... And not just Blood on the Clock Tower, right? I love in that type of free-form deduction game that the way the puzzle solving works is so interesting to me, and I think that's why I love it.
I have seen people with, like, two booms in a room, right?
Right.
Like, just scientifically break it down. Well, you showed this, so this, and this, and this, and this, and this.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's like, and they've got it figured out. Yeah. And it's like, what?
Yeah. Right. And then from that point on, it's somehow trying to disprove that theory.
Right?
The problem is, if you're playing with people who haven't figured it out, and you've figured it out, this has happened to me way too many times.
Sure.
I can't convince them that I know exactly.
That's because you're evil, Spencer.
Because they're
going to
think I'm doing it.
No, well, I guess that's where I enjoy. So
freeform.
Some of the stuff that you don't like, I do like,
sure.
Right? And that's fair, right?
Yeah.
Right. We can't be friends anymore.
Yeah. So
no, but aww. I really love sometimes the drama that comes along with this.
Yeah.
Like, we had a game of Blood on the Clock Tower where it's like, if I could just swing this one thing.
I know.
You get the desperation, and it builds up, and you get people, like, all worked up.
Yeah.
Like, you just got to do the one thing, and if you could just talk them into doing it, and then the stories you have to tell afterwards
That's the thing going into that that social deduction does that very few, and not just freeform, all social deduction does that not very many things can do, where it builds this world meta that lives on, where the next time you play Blood on the Clock Tower, everyone's like, well, I don't trust him.
Oh, yeah.
I don't care if he's the most powerful good guy rolling the game. We should probably kill him first day, right? And I love that.
And that's
meta.
Why Bob hates Werewolf. And I get it, because like playing regular Werewolf, like just regular Werewolf, Bob and I get killed first pretty consistently. Because it's like, well, if it's not them, they're too good of players to keep them in the game anyway.
Sure. But what was funny, the other, like, one time a while ago, like, I showed up late and you just handed me a card and I was a werewolf.
Oh, right.
You know, and I was like, oh, what would the odds of that be? And then, like, the next game, he gave me, I got another werewolf card. I'm like, two times in a row, though. What's the odds
of
that?
That's exactly what happened
and
to
I
me.
I believe it happened three times
in a row.
And I won the second time because they're like, you couldn't have gotten twice in a row.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I did.
Yeah. But, I mean, I don't mind it. It's for me, it's kind of a beer and pretzels kind of thing. Like, I like it because that's a game where I can just kind of sit back and relax. Even Blood on the Clock Tower, which requires a lot of attention.
Right.
I sit and take notes.
Of course.
You know, well, like, okay, so Catherine told me this. She's lying.
It's not when you use the website, though. Okay. It's really not.
No, but I'm jotting, like, and I'm, like, messing on my phone, like, while I'm waiting for stuff, and then I'm jotting down and listening to snippets of conversation. And then when you can pull people into rooms, then it's like, you know.
We also have, like, Among Us. It's a social deduction game.
Yeah,
straight up.
And I didn't care a lot for that either.
Among Us is
really?
Fun.
Yeah, it was okay. I had a little bit of fun playing. But
did you actually do voice chat or did you only do text chat?
No, we voice chatted.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, we played over Discord.
I find that one interesting because there's actual stuff to do.
Correct.
And then you have the conversation.
Yes.
So
I think maybe because I may haven't played it enough. Because like I'm super confused, so like I'm the bad guy, and I'm like standing over this vent that apparently only bad guys can mess with the vents. And they're like, well, he was standing on top of the vent, so it's probably him. And I'm like, no idea what I'm doing.
Hey,
I'm like, why can't I interact with this thing?
My first game, I saw Tim go down a vent. No one explained to me anything, and I'm just sitting there going, how do I get down the vent? And he comes and kills me.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, Spencer saw me.
Why is Spencer on top of the vent? Right. I'm trying to follow Tim.
He's still there. I guess I better kill the witness.
Yeah. Funny. Yep. But yeah, I don't know. There's again, I know I'm going to talk about Blood on the Clock Tower a lot because it's my favorite currently,
and
I think it will be for
a
long time. But the way that works too with Werewolf, like I'm the reason I think Tim might wind up liking this more than Werewolf. I don't know if he will.
Wolves
but,
of Mycia.
Sure. I'm talking about just Blood on the Clock Tower versus Werewolf.
Okay.
You know what I'm
no, it's better than Werewolf.
Okay. Well, because what I was going to say is they're similar enough. Obviously, there are certain mechanics in Blood on the Clock Tower, like the everyone, no villager roles and stuff like that matters, right? But the thing is that the whole Tim being killed first doesn't matter in Blood on the Clock Tower because unless he's some super important role, he still plays the whole game and he can still puzzle things together and talk to people and be like, okay, well, I was this role and this was the information I got or information I could have gotten. How do we put this together? Or if you're the bad guy and you get killed day one, okay, guess what? People are going to trust you now. Push that narrative.
Right.
Figure out that narrative you're going to push because, well, Tim died day one. But, you know, as a matter of fact, I would even say if you're ever a minion, have your demon kill you.
Just right off.
Just because that gains so much trust because, well, the demon's going to kill Tim because he's a good player.
Right.
And then Tim just pushes this narrative along, everyone follows.
Then it's just pick your target.
Right.
After
and
that.
Like, so I don't know. Why I was going to say that I think you would enjoy it more than Werewolf. But yes, obviously, Wolves of Mercia is a whole different
beast. It's a different thing. But so I will come at it at a slightly different way because, yes, a game like Blood on the Clock Tower with all the crunch in there, right? All that deduction and strategy and everything is really good and really intense. That is a heavy gamer's social deduction game.
I can see that.
Okay. Werewolf, just basic Werewolf, is your casual gamer's social deduction game.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. So I could have the in-laws over and a couple of like family members, whatever. They'll play the light version. If I was like, oh, but Blood on the Clock Tower, they'd be like, oh, I got to pay so much attention and keep track of this and that and who's doing what. And I don't know all these powers. We're like Werewolf, I'm lucky if I get with my family, I'm lucky if I get two extra roles in, you know, like a seer and a the hunter or something, right? Which are very basic.
And
roles.
In Werewolf, you know which roles are in the game at the beginning?
Yes.
That's what I thought. The moderator tells you we're playing with a seer and a hunter or whatever, right? So
obviously
that
because
again,
what's going to happen is somebody's going to go, ah, what's this one do?
Exactly.
And then you know what.
Yeah, exactly.
I have literally had that happen.
Same. When I played with my mom one time, she was like, wait, what does it mean when I, mom, you can't. Can't tell everybody what you are because
Well, with the moderate. Well, okay. Again, I guess this is the problem about playing in real life versus playing
digitally.
Digitally,
like in Blood and Clock Town, we play digitally. I visit everyone every night, yeah, and I ask them what they want to do. So I just, while I'm in there, I'm just like, so any questions about how your role works? Right. Yeah. And they can just talk openly to me about any questions they have. But what I was going to say was, I can see why that would make Werewolf way more casual anyway, because here's the 10 roles that I have to it'll be less than that. It'll be, what, 6 roles or something? Here's the 6 roles I need to know
it's
for this
3.
Game. Really? Usually?
It's
because
there's villager,
werewolf, villager.
Werewolf.
Uh-huh.
And sheriff. The sheriff.
It's basically the same as a villager, except you get 2 votes.
Well, I was going to say, though, I've seen games that have, like, the Sasquatch, the hunter, and something else all in
Yeah,
here,
but if I can get those played...
They require
with
a much higher player count.
It requires either a higher player count or a higher level of interest.
Okay, got it.
Investment.
I was going to say, the issue with Blood on the Clock Tower that you're saying is you play script by script. So we say we're playing Trouble Brewing. There are 24 possible roles. If you're playing a 9-player game... That's a 9 out of 24 that are in the game, and you just have to try to deduce what's in the game based off the information that people are giving.
Yes.
So I can see why that's way more puzzly.
I personally really enjoy that. Mm-hmm. I really do. But I can see where like people that aren't into and it's not a knock. It's just a delineation. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So for me, that's why there would be room for both in my collection.
Yeah, again, that's one of the things I love about Social Deduction so much is I own so many.
Yeah.
And I will gladly any day say, let's play Battlestar Galactica. Let's play Murder in Hong Kong. Let's play...
Yeah, Deception.
Deception,
that's
Murder
a good one.
Hong
you like
Kong.
That one, don't you?
It's not bad.
Let's play, obviously, Blood on the Clock Tower. Let's play... what's the BSG Express?
Oh, Dark Moon.
Dark Moon. Like, Dead of Winter, which I know you don't love, right?
Yeah,
I am excited for Call to the Deep.
Call to the Deep. They bang while we're at it. Like, I own all of those games, and I would play any of them any given night. It doesn't matter. They are all fun in their own different way and feel nothing like each other.
And you enjoy game nights where you've got a big group of people playing one game at a time. Like
Yes, rather than multiple groups, you're
saying? Sure. I like, you know, 2-3-4-player games. You know, like, if I'm going to play, like, a big 6-player game, it's going to take off.
It depends on the game.
I was
going to
say almost every game I mentioned plays at 4 though. Like you wouldn't do Battlestar Galactica. You wouldn't do Blood
Deception.
On the Clock Tower.
You wouldn't do
Deception. I don't
have
think
a
you
narrator,
can.
And then you'd have, like,
I don't think you can have play Deception that view. But like, you know, Den of Winter, Dark Moon, Bang, they all play fine at 4.
You know, it's a social deduction game that I love that we've not mentioned yet. Sheriff of Nottingham.
Oh,
that is
sure.
Lying Simulator.
that's a weird
is that really
one.
It's kind of
yeah,
it
I mean,
totally
it's bluffing.
Is.
It's bluffing.
The whole game's bluffing, which is just you deducing based on them, what they're doing.
I love it.
Yeah,
it's
I never
so
would even
fun.
Thought about that in that category, but yeah, that is that. I literally call it Lying Simulator. Yeah. So that's that's a great one. Because
you call it Lying Simulator. Yeah. Like, well, because that's the whole thing is like you either like I've seen people only tell the truth and.
I've done it multiple times.
Wreck shop. Yeah. Only telling the truth.
Yeah.
Or just lying every dang time. It's so much fun.
Yeah.
Well, so isn't that fun. Just like Crazy Eights? Is that the game where you have to put down so many of a card and you can always slip another one in there?
We used to call that, get ready again, Jeff. You put so many cards down and you say,
that's
this is
that's
3
that's
twos.
Right.
You know?
Yes.
But I thought in that one you had to put down the cards you were saying. Like you had to put down 3 cards if you were putting down 3 cards.
No, you can put as many as you want. You can say, I'm putting down 2 and put down 6 cards. If they don't call you, you're good.
Oh, okay.
Thing is, if you do it quickly or you cover them up, they don't notice.
Exactly. Because you're not allowed to splay out the deck. You got to put it in a pile on top.
One thing
that was a good drinking game back in the day.
It was.
Pirate's Dice.
Especially in the Boy Scouts. Good drinking game. One thing that I thought was sort of intrinsic to social deduction games, not all of them, but too many of them, is character elimination, player elimination. And there are a lot of, like, Blood on the Clock Tower and Wolves of Mercia that do a really good job of eliminating
Keeping
that.
Fantastic
I think
job.
That should be something that all the developers should keep in mind is getting rid of the elimination.
And I think they do. I think the trend now,
they're
right?
starting to. Because
the games that you're talking about are newer games, right?
Yeah.
Versus the older games.
The older games, all elimination.
So, yeah, I really do feel like player
and
elimination.
Even the older games, like Battlestar Galactica, is like...
But the game ends
you
when
go
you
to
find
the other
out...
ship and
right.
you still
like,
play.
Like in Evil Dead 2, the game ends when you find out who the Deadite is, and you then can... Well, it doesn't really end when you find out. But
right. It just changes.
Everything changes. There's others where if you find out who it is, the game ends. Or if you find out who that person is no longer in the role, and they sit back and do something completely different.
Right.
Like in Shadows of Camelot. Mm-hmm.
Well,
they're still
BSG too.
In the game.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, yeah, that's a good
still
way
involved.
Of doing it. Yeah.
I got a couple more games that we can just talk about for a second here. So Spyfall and A Fake Artist Goes to New York. Right, they play very similar.
Played Spyfall, haven't played Fake Artist. Spyfall.
Very similar.
But Spyfall is great. I enjoy Spyfall.
Right. Yeah, Spyfall is... Sorry. No, Spyfall is just another one of those super cheap ones like Wolves of Mercia. If you're going to get into social deduction, again, going on your casual versus not casual thing, yes. If you're going to get into social deduction, honestly, my first two might be Spyfall or Wolves of Mercia. Like, Wolves of Mercia is way heavier. Compared and probably plays in like an hour, you think a little more than an hour or something, to where depending on night phase length, to where Spyfall plays in 10 minutes, you know, and it's a little social deduction game where everyone gets a card and the card will have a location on it. It might say like a club and it will have a little picture of a club and everything. One person's card is just blank and says spy. And then we ask each other questions about the location. Like I might go, Tim, would you bring your family here? And he'll answer that question. Then he might go, Spencer, what time of day would you show up at this location most often? And we just go around, ask each other questions. And then we vote at the end of, I think it's usually 8 minutes. It's like a minute per player or 2 minutes per player or something. You just, everyone votes and points. And if you, and the point is to get the spy. At any point during the game, the spy can just say, I think we're at the club. And if he's right, he wins. If he's wrong, he loses. If the spy gets voted on at the end of the game and everyone says, I think Spencer's a spy, and he is, Spencer has one shot to guess where he's at. And if he's right, he still wins. So the bad guy almost has a little leniency get out of jail free card at the end, but it plays super well. It's like $15.
Have you ever played The Insider? This is a version of that that I think is better.
I've seen it played and so, it seems great.
Yeah. So The Insider, the game, the master picks a word and the insider is someone else in the group. They don't know who it is. Well, the insider knows who they are. They know the word. Then there's a time limit, and everybody's going around asking questions, basically yes or no questions.
To guess the word.
To try to figure out what the word is. The insider knows what the word is and is going to be trying to get people to figure out the word by the time the time's up, right? But then everybody's then, so time's up, they guess the word. Now you have to figure out who the insider was.
Right, because whose clues were too obvious? Who helped us the most?
Right, right.
It's like Detective Club in Just One.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really, I played this with Pat and Julia a bunch, and I freaking love this game. And it's just a little box game, like throw in your pocket, like tiny little box, like tall, skinny card, almost like space-based kind of cards.
Yeah.
And I just love the heck out of this game. Yeah. Like, it's just one of those kind of social deduction games where, again, you're like, so you're trying to figure out like who's giving too good of clues, I mean, you could ask really, and also you got to be careful, right? You got to walk that line and not going so far off base.
Exactly like Spyfall. Yeah, again, he's right. They're very similar.
And you have to be careful in the first round. If the person who is the spy is asked a question immediately, he has nothing to go on.
He has to BS his way through
Detective Club.
That.
It's like the first person that has to play a card before anybody else does, and you're like,
yeah.
Ugh. Well, there's no way it could be Dan because his card was too perfect.
Right. Thank you, Tim.
Oh, my God. That one card you played.
A couple little ones. We would be remiss if we didn't mention Town of Salem. Very famous. Yeah. So Town of Salem is another very famous type one. And then Masquerade is kind of a...
I really like Masquerade.
It's kind of like it's kind of like Coup, but then they were like, let's make Coup like better. Way bigger and better.
And better.
Yeah, and like is kinda...
And then the roles can switch.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Constantly. That's almost the point of the game is roles are constantly swapping.
I really like Masquerade.
I'm going to try this one.
Yeah, we'll play it sometime. Masquerade, you just got to have like six people to make it interesting or more.
Six to eight.
But actually, we've mentioned everything else I'd written down. I did want to say a little bit about One Night because you mentioned it earlier, but because I know you don't like the One Nights
at all.
I love the way the One Nights work because it is like chaos. Everyone gets their information during night one. That's it. It's a one night game. So then everyone wakes up and they just say, okay, well I was this and I did this. Well, but I was this and I did this and that doesn't make sense. But this happened. And okay, everyone point. And then that's the end of the round. I love it. It's like a 10-minute chaotic game where everyone's just trying to put this puzzle together really quick based on all the information. And then you vote, and whoever has the most points is executed. And if they're the werewolf, the good team wins. And if they're anyone else, or obviously the Tanner, like in Werewolf is in and everything, who wants to die. So that's another thing. The Tanner, I love Tanner roles in these games. Like, I don't think there's a Tanner-like role in Blood on the Clock Tower. I'd have to look at it. But, like, a role that is purposely putting out a bunch of misinformation because he wants to look super suspicious and get killed because then he wins the game. Like, I love that. I love that idea. But, I love the One Nights. I love that chaos puzzle, which I guess Blood on the Clock Tower kind of is. It's just
I find Blood on the Clock Tower more satisfying.
Yeah, a little bit more solvable and a little bit more satisfying. Well, way more satisfying, but...
The way you're saying it reminds me of a game. It's not exactly a social deduction game, but kind of, called Antidote. Which,
oh, mm-hmm. I love
yeah,
Antidote.
Antidote's fun.
Now, it's only social deduction in the sense of, does he know which one it is?
Yeah. Yeah, if Tim starts playing a bunch of green or whatever, you're like, no, wait a minute. Yeah.
I'm going to give you a spoiler. Tim has no idea.
None of us have any idea. Have you played Antidote?
You'd like it. I think
you'd like
it
out next time.
Great little puzzle solving. Like
it is so intense, too.
Ship's Arcana kind of thing.
And as you're going by and you're getting smaller and smaller hand and you're like sweating bullets, you're like, oh my gosh.
Like, think of like a very micro version of Alchemists, right?
Or
you're just trying to, you're eliminating possibilities as you go, right?
Okay.
And you're triangulating basically
then,
like, so this and this did this.
And
okay,
then you throw in
right?
the roles so, that you can take.
Yeah.
Right? That now you have to take that into consideration. Does he know or does he just go off what he knows?
I just think Antidote has one of my favorite themes for a social deduction game. Like, we're all scientists and a bottle breaks. And so we're all poisoned. We're all trying to find out what the antidote is. And the cards are like a bunch of different colors and they go from like 1 to 9 or something. I don't remember. And one of the cards is out of the game. That's the antidote. And we're all discarding cards and passing cards around and stuff to figure out which card is missing. So, like, Clue, right?
Yeah.
And because we want to be the person who drinks the antidote. I love that theme.
And you live at the end if you have the right color, but you get points depending on the number of that thing. So if you don't think that that you're right, you also get negative points if you get it wrong. So you can put down a 1. If you still got it, because you're not certain. If you're really certain, you put down that 6. Just hope that someone, you know, doesn't use a syringe and steal it from you.
Right.
Right. Or what you're saying is because there's only one of each number. So if Tim and I both guess the antidote, but I keep the 4 and he keeps the 5, he wins. He drank the more potent antidote or however you want to look at that. But anyway, again, super cheap card social deduction game that I would recommend.
Yeah, Antidote's
You need lots of players for that one. Like, at least 4. I would do 5 or
That is not a lot for a social deduction game. You
need
lots of players, at least 4.
You know, like 4.
No, I mean, you want to have at least 5 players.
Spencer
on that
only
one.
Has 2
sure.
chairs
it goes
in his
up
whole
to
house.
7.
So, oh, guys, we got more than 2. Woo!
There were a lot of people right here.
Standing room only.
Like Jess in the back.
There's other reasons for that.
Yeah.
Yep. Right on. Hey, social deduction. Bob, we appreciate you being a good sport on this one, but it's kind of good. It's good to have a dissenting opinion, you know, a little bit.
Yep, I am here to dissent.
Sure.
But what are your favorite games? Which ones have you not been able to play yet? Because we will gladly recommend games that you haven't been able to play yet and unrecommend games you have played and be like, we're sorry that you played that.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Like you'll say, oh, you won't get a winner?
There's appeal for people. It's just not for me.
There's almost always a better one now.
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, that's right. So yeah, tell us your favorite social deduction games. What are what did we miss? We covered a lot. We named
got all the big ones. I'm sure we did. Someone's like, idiots.
Yes. Yeah.
You never mentioned my favorite one.
One Night Alien.
Yeah.
One Night Alien.
Yeah, there's one. Ultimate. Yeah, that's a real one. Okay. Vampire.
Yep.
There's one. So anyways, that's enough of that jibber jabber. Also, be sure to check out our friends at the
Board Game Mechanics.
Rundown.
Miniatures Rundown. There you go.
Too, yeah.
I was like,
which ones
Rundown,
are our friends?
Miniatures. Miniatures Rundown.
That place.
Yeah, CJ.
Wow, real and friendly there.
We're like this.
That's so many things. But yeah, between CJ and Jeff, they're doing all kinds of stuff. Jeff is dying to pop on camera real quick and show
he's
you
been,
that he painted something
things.
Over there.
Good job.
And that actually looks really good.
Yeah, that looks really good.
Are you sure you painted that? Okay.
Whose work are you currently stealing?
But they're going to cover, like, not just miniatures, well, just miniatures games, but specifically they'll do, like, Warhammer 40K, you know, Age of Sigmar, all that good stuff.
What's the BattleTech? Is that the one
BattleTech's
really
big, real big. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, they got a lot of stuff going on over there, so check them out.
Yep.
Also, our friends at the Board Game Mechanics do a pretty okay podcast and YouTube channel.
Check out our podcast.
Yeah. So you can now find this in the form of an audio podcast. It usually pops up either the day of or day after the episode drops on YouTube.
I haven't decided what we're doing yet. I've been just scheduling them for Fridays, but we'll see if that changes. That's just what I've been doing so far.
Sure. If there's a day you'd rather have that pop, let us know. We're open.
Yep.
And if you do listen to us on any of those podcast channels, I would just ask you kindly to drop us a rating.
Yeah.
Give us a comment.
Yeah.
And if you're listening on the audio, check out the YouTube. subscribe and comment on that giveaway channel.
Yeah, so that you can get the giveaway.
Right.
Yeah.
So always, thank you for watching.
Or listening.
For the Board Game Rundown, I've been Tim.
I've been Bob.
I was Dan.
And I'm Spencer.
We'll see you next time.
We'll see you next time.
One of these people is not who they say they are. One of these people...
Thanks for checking out the Board Game Rundown. If you like what you saw, like, comment, and subscribe to our channel. Share our videos on social media and spread the word. We publish new content weekly, including reviews, unboxing, and let's plays. And as always, thanks for watching.